It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the Gospel of John, John chapter 3. We're going to begin reading with verse 22 today, and so please open your Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 22, and follow along if you can. Hope you can today. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for this great study today. John chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. And John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy thereof is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is in the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son hath not seen life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's the end of the third chapter. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this study. I just rejoice in your name. It's such a joy to be a believer and walk with you and know your power and your strength. I thank you, dear Father, that you have given us a means of salvation, and that's through being born again. We have spent several times together looking at this third chapter, and now we're looking at the end of the third chapter. Please, that you would just guide and lead us through it, and just give us your wisdom. Teach us your truth. Tell us so clearly how to be born again if we're not saved. Help us to learn how to be saved. And it is so simple. It is so easy. Just coming by faith. So, dear Lord, please, I just ask that you will touch every heart today. I ask that you'll show each one of us how to be saved, and how to be a child of God and grow in you and walk with you. Thank you for this wonderful time together now. I just praise you for it. Speak to every heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We find that there was much teaching with Nicodemus. He just seemed to not quite understand, because he was thinking of earthly things and Jesus was speaking in heavenly things. He was speaking in the flesh, and Jesus was speaking in the spirit. And so that's always a conflict, one with the other. It'll always be a conflict. Even though you're born again, there's still a conflict between the spirit and the flesh. And it started here with Nicodemus, and it continued. And we've spent, and I can see, one, two, three, four, 5, between verse 1 and verse 21. We've had five studies together over that section of Scripture. My dear friend, you must be born again. I hope that you know that. And to be born again is to believe and trust in Jesus Christ, and it's going to continue in that same study and theme throughout this precious book. And that theme of salvation, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, his shed blood upon the cross of Calvary, begins in Genesis and doesn't end until Revelation. And so please enjoy the study. See that you know Jesus as your Savior. After these things, after Jesus had talked to Nicodemus, and we believe that it was in Jerusalem is where they had met, Nicodemus come and asking him some questions, and the Lord Jesus just teaching him the truth step by step for him to come. And some beautiful, wonderful verses that are worth repeating, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Believeth in who? Jesus Christ. He died on the cross of Calvary to save you. That's verse 15 of the third chapter. Verse 16 is a very favorite verse of Scripture that you may have heard many, many times. I hope that you have. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Perish there is to be lost. If you don't know Jesus, you're lost. Please, I don't want you to be a loser. I want you to be a winner. And the way to be a winner is to come by faith to Jesus and trust in him. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wonderful. For every logical reason, God would have sent his Son down to condemn us, and not to save us. But he didn't. There is going to be a time that judgment will come. But when he come the first time, he come to save. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So you see, it comes right back to that same situation, and that is coming by faith to the Lord Jesus. Condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's verse 18, chapter 3, verse 18. Very simple for you to look at, to read. There's nothing complicated about that. Please don't shove in some kind of doctrine of your church to make that work. It's just that simple. You believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart, and he will save you. He that is the condemnation, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It's that simple. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. All you have to do is come out of the darkness into the light, and you really see your true self. Look in the mirror, my friend. Look in the mirror. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know him? Or are you just hanging on to some kind of religious act of baptism or church membership or instruction that you might have received or something that your parents taught you that is not in the Word of God? Many times, parents are taught what their parents are taught, and it goes on for generation after generation, and it's a lie. And the only way you're going to find out the truth is just go to the Word of God. You don't have to believe me. You know, some of those sayings say that, you know, it's, you know, God said it, I believe it, that, you know, makes it right. And that's not true at all. You know, God said it, that's it. God said it, that's it. It doesn't matter what I say or what I do. It's what God's Word says. So go to the Word of God. Go to John chapter 3 and see these things. I don't want you to miss them. Verse 20 again, and we'll get started with the study. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth, in other words, the Word of God, just like we were talking about, cometh to the light, okay? That's how you come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. It's that simple. It's just that simple. And after these things came Jesus and his disciples in the land of Judah, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Now, we find that Scripture tells us that Jesus himself did not baptize. And as we look at these verses of Scripture here, we can find that in the fourth chapter, verse 2, It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. You see, you've got to take the scripture, confirm scripture. And so please don't take one scripture verse out of context and make it work for your religion. Because that's not the word of God. We need to understand. And so when it says here that things came and Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judah, and there he tarried with them and baptized, it means that his disciples baptized. His disciples followed and did the baptizing. Jesus didn't. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, verse 2, chapter 4. Doesn't get much clearer than that. If you want to go back with me to Matthew chapter 3, we love the Word of God, love studying the Word of God. Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 17 in the chapter. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it become us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, who am well pleased. And so you see, there is the baptism of the Lord Jesus. And the second verse of chapter 4 says that though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. And so please that we look to see, because you see, a lot of people put so much emphasis upon baptism, but it's not true. The baptism is something that is required, but not for salvation. It's required upon for obedience, for service, for praise, for honor, but not for salvation. Once again, verse 22, John 3:22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples to the land of Judah, and there he tarried with them and baptized. John also was baptizing, and Enon is the way I'm going to pronounce that, near Salem. And that's a little different than the Salem we think of Jerusalem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Now, we're going to spend a little bit of time there, and then it kind of dates that John was not yet cast into prison. John was cast into prison because of his stand for Jesus Christ. They hated him, and they desired to put him in prison, and it wasn't long that they accomplished that. But here we find, and we need to take a look at that, because so many today have required baptism. You can go through, and I'm not going to name them. You know them or you don't know them, doesn't matter. But there are many religions that require baptism. We require baptism for church membership. Now you say, well, what's the difference between requiring baptism for church membership and baptism for salvation? Salvation is free. You choose to join us and serve the Lord here. One of the first requirements of service is to be obedient, and that is to be baptized. So I'm telling you that it's necessary to be baptized, but not for salvation, for fellowship, because baptism, and it speaks here of much water. So we've got a problem here, because many that require baptism do not believe in immersion. And if you'll notice in the scripture, never is anyone baptized before they're born again. They're saved first. They've come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever will. Now, what did we see about baptism here in this earlier part of this chapter, chapter 3? Whosoever believeth in him and should not perish but have eternal life. Now, what's it say about baptism? What's it say about church membership? doesn't say anything about anything other than believing. Whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus Christ, should not perish. Look at verse 16. For God so loved the world, he did. He loved them before we were lovable. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Show me there. Now, yes, there are other verses of Scripture. It says, believe and be baptized. That's the very first act of obedience after you're saved. But it's not a requirement for salvation. And John makes that very, very clear here. And John baptizes. John baptizes. And the Lord Jesus himself speaks the truth here for us to clearly know and clearly understand that salvation is free. I just ask that you think on this just a little bit, because this is something that is very difficult for me to understand, but I've trusted in Jesus Christ, and I have it without question that baptism is of necessity for fellowship, for service. It's the very first command. Be baptized. But not for salvation. Let's back up just a little bit and talk about the type of baptism, because many have left immersion, and yet John says there is much water here. We have had the Ethiopian eunuch, what hindereth me to be baptized? And he asked him, and he confessed that he knew Jesus Christ as his Savior. That's all it was. It's all that was required. And so they stopped, went down into the water, come back up out of the water, again picturing immersion. And the reason that it's that way, it's not the amount of water. It's the picture. It's not something that has anything to do with whether we're saved or lost, but it's our testimony. And our testimony begins with the very first act and the very first command God gives us, and that's to be baptized. And so, you see, first we're born again. Okay. You have to be old enough to know. So, you see, that throws out a whole bunch of you that were baptized as infants. I was baptized as a child. But later, when I learned what the Word of God told me, I trusted in Jesus as my Savior as an adult, and then I followed the Lord in baptism. I was saved before I was baptized, but I wanted to do it. And let me show you what the picture, what we have here. And the Word of God confirms this, but let's go through it here very, very carefully. You go down into the water. That pictures the old self, the old flesh. And you're standing there, and then you go down into the water, and you die with Jesus. What a picture. Not literally, but a picture. You die with Jesus. And then, my friend, you come up out of that water, and you're raised with Christ. Oh, what a beautiful picture. The old flesh dies, and we are resurrected. We're brought back to life again. That's what baptism is. It's a picture of what's happened in your heart. And many places connect baptism with the Holy Spirit coming into the heart. That's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God tells us we come by faith. We trust in Him. That's all we have to do, and He does the rest. He saves us. And once we are saved, then we want to testify that I am His. And so we go before other believers. We even go before lost people that's maybe in our family or friends that come to this event, and we go down into the water, and we picture the old self, and then down we die to self and resurrected, raised to self. Now, what can that be? How can that picture be if we just sprinkle a few drops of water and say a few words? That misses the whole point, whether you do that as an adult or as a child. Child can't do it because you're not born again. Every time in the Word of God, it tells us that you must be born again. You must believe and be baptized. And so even those scripture verses that are tied together, that are in the same verse of scripture, the new birth comes first. Being born again, being saved, believing comes first. Then baptism comes next. And again, if baptism was a requirement for salvation, then salvation's not free. Salvation is not free if you're going to tie baptism to it, because that's something I have to do for my salvation. That's not true at all. God does the savings. It's a gift given to us. Salvation is given to us if we'll receive it. And upon us receiving it and trusting in Jesus, it becomes ours. And when I got saved, I wanted to show people. So I went before the church, the body of believers, and I showed them I am a member of this body, and not that church, but a member of the body of Christ. And I showed that with baptism, going down into the water and back up out of the water. Do you understand? It's really so simple. And yet man has complicated with bringing in, sprinkling. And I've had the discussion, well, how much water does it take to wash away my sins? And no amount of water is ever going to wash my sins away. Only the blood of Christ is going to do that. And he did that when I trusted in him. But when I was baptized, it showed people what I had done in my heart already. That's all it is. And so John is doing that. And so there's a couple of issues that we really have turned around in our society today and in religious circles today, and that is infant baptism for one and sprinkling for another. And the third is that they tie baptism with salvation. And if you would take those three items, you have taken a very large number of the churches, so-called churches, in our country, in the society today, that believe those things. And that is not what the Word of God teaches. It's not what the Word of God teaches. And so please, that you understand that. Now, I said at the beginning that you cannot join this church until you're baptized. That's because if you're going to come here and you're going to serve the Lord here, you need to follow God's command. And his first command is to be baptized, to testify what I have done in your hearts, what God is saying. And if you're not willing to testify of what Jesus has done for you, then what use are you going to be to the local church? It's that simple. It's not for salvation. You can join this church 100 times, and that's not going to save you. You can be baptized 100 times, and that's not going to save you. You can be sprinkled 100 times, and that's not going to save you. The only thing that's going to save you is coming by faith. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's just about as simple as it gets, my friend. But so many folks have missed it. So many folks have joined and tied in other things and all that. Oh, I just ask that you get that straight in your mind. John was also baptizing, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Now, when they came, we hope that all of them that were coming were saved. But as in today, when folks come and they say they trust in Jesus, but they haven't had a heart change, yes, they can fool the preacher and they can fool the church, and many folks are baptized that are never saved. But it's of no value to them. It's just a front. It's a lie. And I hope that if you were baptized and you weren't saved, that you'll come out and repent of that and follow the Lord in baptism. And then we have a date here, and John was not yet cast into prison, the question says. So it kind of dates us when this event has taken place. And then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Baptism was not something new to these people, or at least washing anyway. And so to go down into a pool of water and go under the water and back up, that was, you know, that's not something too strange for them. They were always washing their feet, washing their hands, going through a purification process with their whole body. That was not something real strange to them. But this wasn't something of purifying. This is something of an example. This is what Jesus has done in my heart. I'm going to show you with this outward appearance of baptism. And so they came unto John and said unto him, this is verse 26 of John chapter 3, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come unto him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Ye yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. And then he gives a nice explanation here in this 29th verse. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. All right? We're the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, and that's John, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. John had his priorities straight, didn't he? John had it right. Let's back up now and take a look at this here. All right, the Jews come. They have a problem, a question about this purifying, thinking that that's what this baptism is. And they came to John, and they called him Rabbi, and so they must have listened to him long enough, knowing that he is quite a teacher. And he that was with me beyond the Jordan, which was the Lord Jesus, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men cometh to him. Well, again, we've looked at that fourth verse, though Jesus himself baptized not. Now, John said, answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given from above. Everything John has received, it's come from heaven. John's wisdom, John's power, John's strength, and Jesus himself. Yourselves bear me witness, that I said, I am not the Christ. We've been through this before. I've told you I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. I am a forerunner. I have come to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am come to preach, to repent, prepare, because he is coming. The kingdom is at hand, the scripture tells us. And then this beautiful story here of John saying, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because the bridegroom's voice. I hope you love to hear the voice of Jesus. What an opportunity that John received to be a forerunner of Christ, to come and clear the path, prepare the way. Prepare the way. Oh, my friend, Jesus has come. And Jesus lived. The last 3 years was clearly showing himself as God. Lived here for 3 years, 33 years total. And then he went on the cross, died on that cross, shed his blood, was buried, and rose from the dead 3 days later. He's alive, sitting at the right hand of God the Father right now. The world tries to tell us there is no God. But you're a fool if you say that. You're a fool. There is a God. A God that loved you so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Doesn't get any simpler than that. I hope you understand that, and I hope you've trusted in Jesus. Out of all the years that we've been on the radio, there's nothing more important than this decision. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?